Hello, thanks for joining us today. My name is Jeff Creeley, and I'm the director of the LGBT Research and Communications Project here at the Center for American Progress. And I'm joined by Kellen Baker, who is a health policy analyst with the LGBT Research Project. And we are going to be speaking today with Brad Clark, who is the executive director of One Colorado. Before we jump in, Brad, and talk about this new health report that you released recently, could you just give us a quick overview of what One Colorado is and the issues you're working on?
You bet. Thanks for having me. One Colorado is a statewide LGBT advocacy organization. So we were formed in 2010 with a mission to advance equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Coloradans and their families, a statewide organization with staff throughout the state.
Great. So we were really struck by the title of the report, which is called Invisible, the State of LGBT Health in Colorado, and really wanted to hear a little bit of your thoughts on why you chose to title it Invisible.
Yeah, I think it was a very intentional decision. You know, too often LGBT people are invisible in general, especially when it comes to healthcare. You know, we're often hidden, rarely studied, and poorly characterized. And we thought the title pretty much summarizes the current state of LGBT health in one word.
Given the lack of information that we have in so many corners about what exactly LGBT health is, what some of the issues are, what kinds of issues did you expect to uncover with this report?
Well, we had done some preliminary work. You know, we've traveled the state over the past 2 years from the western slope to the Front Range of Colorado, and talk to thousands of LGBT people about their experiences. And given the conversations, we knew, you know, the horrible circumstances many in the community faced when it came to health. Specifically, we heard the heartbreaking experiences of transgender Coloradans being denied care, you know, administering their own hormones, and just lacking basic housing and care. In addition, you know, we heard from a number of older adults facing some similar situations when it came to fears around entering a nursing home or making end-of-life decisions.
What do you think was the most surprising finding or you know, kind of research nugget that you came up with?
Well, we knew that it was happening anecdotally and from people's stories, but the revelation actually from the data and from the survey we conducted that over 20% of LGBT people in the state had been denied access to health care before, and that over 50% of transgender Coloradans had that experience. You know, I think by far that was the most surprising and the most appalling, obviously. I think also the other thing that we found, you know, the connection between being out to your doctor and having an LGBT-friendly doctor, how that connection to people's health and well-being, you know, and all the indicators from how often people went to the doctor to whether someone is seeking preventative care, the correlation with those two things, being out and having an LGBT-friendly provider, was very key and very surprising.
Did you find anything particular about what it means for a provider to be LGBT-friendly?
You know, I think, you know, through some of the open-ended questions in the survey, a lot of people wrote in great examples. And, you know, I don't think it takes that much for a provider to indicate subtly that they're friendly. Basic things like having sexual orientation or gender identity on health forms, or not asking marital status but asking a more open-ended question. Things also, you know, in gender-neutral language when people were in a doctor's office. And then also realizing that it extends beyond the actual provider and the number of people who reported, you know, they had a negative experience with a nurse or a staff person, an intake person, before they even actually got to the doctor, and how that prevented them from actually seeing the doctor.
This report really comes, I think, at a pivotal time in the national conversation about the U.S. healthcare system, the ways that it serves some populations better than others, the way that it's failing a lot of us, particularly, as your report shows, a lot of LGBT people. Are there any issues in the report that particularly resonate with changes that Colorado or the country as a whole are seeing under the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that was really clear throughout the survey and our report that relates to the Affordable Care Act is the reality is that LGBT folks are much like their straight friends and neighbors, and they're struggling simply to make ends meet, affording health care, accessing the system, much like their their straight friends and neighbors. But there's obviously this extra hurdle that LGBT folks face when it comes to employment discrimination or housing or any of these other issues that impact people's health. And, you know, obviously there's key things under the implementation of the Affordable Care Act that we want to see to improve the health of our own community. You know, things like access for trans-related care, domestic partnership recognition, better data collection is one, you know, that relates to the actual title of the study about us rarely being counted in any sort of surveys. And obviously, you know, the non-discrimination policies to make it unlawful to deny our community access to see a doctor.
And the report, Brad, makes several recommendations for health systems and providers overall, including things like better data collection on the LGBT population, expanding access to affordable and high-quality care for LGBT people, and you know, really boosting LGBT cultural competence in the health network. But you know, you also make several recommendations that directed at the LGBT community specifically. You know, what could you talk through what some of those recommendations are, and you know, what kind of motivated you for directing some of the recommendations specifically at LGBT population and community members?
Yeah, and I think this piece of the study and these recommendations really came both from our anecdotal experiences within the community and also the data that was collected. You know, the realization that we can't rely solely on providers and systems to fix this problem. We as a community must own that reality that we're part of this problem, and some for very valid and understandable reasons. You know, from drinking and smoking rates to the number of us that aren't out to our providers. You know, it's on us to do our part to address this and fix the problem. You know, specifically some of those recommendations, you know, we think that LGBT organizations should make health an LGBT issue. This should be on the radar of all of our organizations. We shouldn't just rely on health organizations to make this a health issue. And we should also do a better job as a community to reduce the promotion of alcohol and tobacco, you know, in our own media and at our events. And I think probably the biggest thing that we realized through this study was also really the need to come out. And that's true in all the work that we do. It's just seeing that the power of people coming out and how that's transforming other people's attitudes. And, you know, without a doubt, this is one of the biggest issues facing our community with healthcare. You know, if our doctors don't know who we are, how can they actually treat us?
One Colorado has been a real leader, I think, in using health as a lens for talking about what does discrimination mean, what does inequality mean, how are they impacting the actual well-being of LGBT people and their families, their ability to keep themselves and their families healthy, happy, and safe. But why has it been so hard to make health an LGBT issue, and how has One Colorado overcome that?
Well, I think that, I mean, what we did at the very beginning was, I guess, listen to our own community, and I think that that's where this came from. You know, it was a priority that people within our community told us we needed to focus on. You know, as we traveled the state, in our surveys that we've done of the community and at town hall meetings, you know, and really it's not just a rural or urban issue. It's something we heard all across the state, that health has consistently been an issue that people have identified as their priority. And specifically, I think this is true really for the most underserved within our community, transgender folks and those with the least means and without access to health care. And I think, you know, it's taken a bit of time to really talk to some other folks within our community of why health should be an LGBT issue and why they should care, and essentially how it relates to all of the other issues that we work on, from school safety for LGBT youth to civil unions and relationship recognition for LGBT families. I mean, health is really interconnected with all of those issues.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, you know, especially in the context, Brad, that One Colorado has been such a great leader in this area, you know, maybe giving some advice to advocates in other states who want to focus more attention on LGBT health, you know, think through that advice and also, you know, resources that were particularly helpful and critical to you in developing this report and getting it off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my advice is just to do it. I think people within the community will listen, people will follow. You just have to actually start the conversation, which I think oftentimes in any of these issues is the hardest part, is just starting that initial conversation. You know, we relied heavily on the resources of our own community. doctors, healthcare experts, nurses, insurance folks, you know, and a lot of people who were already embedded in the existing system. And they were really the ones who helped guide and direct this, in addition to, you know, Center for American Progress and other organizations who helped provide a lot of guidance and information and resources. And I think the one thing that we noticed when we actually started the conversation and engaging people in helping direct this, many of those people weren't involved in other aspects of our work before. And so the reality was that doing this healthcare work only helped to expand the capacity and help to build the organization overall.
That's great. I think that's all the time we have today. So, Brad, I really want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us and for your great work overall and on LGBT health issues. Can you just let us know what your website is if people want to learn more about One Colorado?
You bet. It's www.one-colorado.org.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.